The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Hello and welcome to Happy Hour. Who's here for the first time at Happy Hour? Great, welcome. The main portion of our practice time together is a guided meditation that I'll guide you through, and you don't need to know anything ahead of time. Whatever you need to know will be presented to you. No previous experience needed. And there'll be some time afterwards for reflections and questions and what I'd like to say about the topic I'd like to share the guided meditation on tonight is the topic of mudita in Pali, which is translated as vicarious joy, which is happiness for other people's good fortune. The Dalai Lama says, if you're just happy for your own happiness, you have one out of one chance of being, you have one chance of being happy. But if you're happy for other people's happiness, your chance increases to over 7 billion. So the practice of being happy for other people's good fortune is really a cultivation of the heart, because we tend to have that anyway for people we care about when something good happens to them. We're so happy for them, as if it were happening to ourselves. It's that sense of joy that comes up for us. So with this practice, we cultivate that. And also when we feel happy for our own good fortune, that practice becomes the practice of gratitude. So that's how gratitude fits into the Buddhist teachings of the Brahma Viharas, the four heavenly abodes, if you've heard that before. Metta, loving kindness, karuna, compassion, mudita, which is vicarious joy, and the fourth one being upekkha, equanimity. So these four are the practices of the heart in this tradition. So one asks, how does gratitude fit? And I didn't hear gratitude, because that's a practice of the heart too. So the way it fits in, as I just explained, is under mudita, under vicarious joy, when you're happy for your own happiness. You know, you start with others, you're happy for their happiness, and then, you turn to yourself. You're happy for your own happiness. And sure enough, gratitude will arise. So that's the practice we're going to explore tonight in the guided meditation. And it's a pretty sure way to get happy when you're feeling happy either for your own good fortune or for other people's happiness. A couple of other things I want to say before we get started about this practice is that, you know, our minds are, evolutionarily speaking, we, as human beings, somehow our minds, our ruminations, are more attracted to the negative. Have you noticed that in your own experience? Anyone not notice that in your experience? So, and evolutionarily speaking, it makes sense. It made sense, right? If you're walking in the savannah, you know, looking for berries, and also scanning the horizon for a woolly mammoth that could possibly come and kill you. Okay, if you miss the woolly mammoth, you will not live to see another day, right? So you really have to look for the negative. You really have to look for anything that's scary or dangerous in the environment. But if you miss the berries, okay, you'll go hungry, and you'd still be alive one more day to get more berries. So your filters, you'd be much more tuned for any threat, any negativity in the environment, much more tuned to that compared to the tuned to being to the positivity in the environment. So that's kind of our evolutionary gift passed down through many, many generations. So that's not a surprise. So, okay, what do we do about it? Well, in this practice, we can turn our mind into what's good, to what's positive, because our minds are not going to do that on their own. They're going to be scanning for anything that's dangerous or difficult or upsetting, and that's just the way it is. It's not wrong, it's not bad, that's just the way we run. So in order to balance the negativity leanings of our minds as human beings, then we can intentionally turn our mind towards the positive, towards the good, towards what's to be grateful for and what's to be happy about as a way of balancing. And not to completely ignore what's difficult and what's dangerous. That's not the idea of this practice at all. And for many of you who've come here before many times, you know that we do work with compassion. We do work with suffering. We do work with what's difficult. But with mudita, we kind of like, we turn towards what's good just to balance the heart and mind. One more thing I'd like to say is, as I guide this practice, the far enemy, the opposite of mudita, which is vicarious joy for happiness of others, is envy. And envy can come up. If it comes up, don't worry, you haven't failed, you haven't done this practice wrong. It can come up. It's quite normal sometimes when you're feeling, for example, a friend of yours has something that you're really happy about. Maybe they're in a very happy relationship right now, and you're really, truly happy for them as a friend. And all of a sudden, you know, after a few minutes of feeling happy for them, you just notice envy comes up for you, like, because you want it for yourself also. And so if that happens, then what you do, my recommendation is you turn towards whatever is coming up with kindness. Because at that point, the envy is painful. It's just the sense of pain and suffering in your own heart. So turn towards it instead of pushing it away, instead of judging yourself for being a bad meditator. Don't do that. Turn towards it and hold it with kindness. Hold the suffering. Hold whatever is coming up. Hold it with kindness. Yeah, this is hard right now. And stay there for as long as needed until it feels okay to move on or not. So we're going to do this practice a little differently tonight. We're going to actually start with ourselves and then move on to others. A little non-traditional way of doing this practice, but why not? So many ways to explore these practices. So before we start, this is the time that I ask you all to make sure you're comfortable, and if you need to get up and get more props for your back, for your seat, for your feet to be flat on the floor, if you're short, or rather, let's say, if the chairs are too tall for you, it's all relative. This is the perfect time to get up and get more props. Please, don't be shy. Ask your body, do I need something more to be comfortable? And if the answer is yes, go get something. And let's get into our meditation posture, whatever that might be. Actually, let's move a little bit. Let's move back and forth a little bit, forward, backwards, left and right. Kind of waking up the body, finding your center of gravity before landing. maybe closing your eyes. Ah, letting your spine straighten out vertebrae by vertebrae, as if you're being pulled up by an invisible string, giving you a sense of integrity to your body. And then relaxing your muscles, relaxing your body as much as possible while there is a sense of integrity in your spine, in your whole posture. Maybe letting your shoulders to roll back just ever so slightly, opening your chest a little bit, dropping your hands on your lap. Relaxing your face. Relaxing, softening your eyes, letting them drop in their socket. Letting go, letting go. Relaxing your jaw, softening your jaw. Softening your forehead. Relaxing your cheeks. Relaxing your ears. This one is like a Zen koan, relaxing your whole face. Relaxing your tongue. Be letting your jaw be so relaxed that maybe your mouth falls open. A little bit. Letting go of any tension in your neck, your shoulders, letting your hands and arms be completely relaxed. As if your arms were a block of ice, drip, 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 drip. Letting them drip. Drop down and drip. Any tension, any holding out through your fingertips. Letting your whole trunk be the block of ice that drips and drops. Relaxing your chest, abdomen, and back. Letting your lower back, your lower abdomen, your sit bones, the groin area, relax, let go of any tension. softening, relaxing your legs, your upper legs, lower legs, and feet completely dropping. Again, blocks of ice melting into the earth. Imagine now your whole body is melting. Letting the breath move freely in and out of this body. It's not that you are intentionally breathing. Breathing is happening on its own. So don't make it into a project. Just let it happen naturally. Just notice it moving in and out. Wherever it's easiest to notice the breath, belly, or chest, or nostrils. And with each in-breath and out-breath, allow your body to soften. To deepen the letting go. Some more. Continue to till the soil, calming the mind. For a few more minutes before turning our attention to the practice of mudita. Each in-breath, each out-breath, calming, soothing. Relaxing the mind, the body. Putting down thoughts, plans. For now. And nowhere to go, nothing to do right now. But just to sit and breathe. Let the breath breathe itself. Taking refuge in this moment, right here, right now, of being alive. In its simplicity. That's all. Now I'd like to invite you to bring to mind one aspect, something in your life that you're happy about, you're grateful for. Something, maybe something that happened today, perhaps. That's made you happy, made you smile. Maybe you're grateful for, and stay with it. Not just mentioning it to yourself, but really staying with it, the significance of it for you. And it might be very small, but still, stay with it. Looking at it from different aspects, why this is significant, it's a good thing for you. Allowing yourself to feel happy, grateful for this goodness, for this little blessing or good fortune, whatever it might be. And when you feel like you've really explored this, then you can move on to something else. Maybe also from the day. Really allowing yourself to explore it and soak it in. And allowing yourself to be in touch with your delight, your happiness, your gratitude for this. Or this experience. Maybe when you've explored this, all the aspects, dimensions of it, maybe move on to something else from your day. Might be something that you finally accomplished. Might be something really tiny. It doesn't matter. Letting yourself taste the joy, the happiness, the gratitude, the goodness of this happening in your own life. inclining your mind towards goodness in your own life. Then feel free to open up to other things in your day. Maybe you ate your favorite breakfast. Good fortune, happiness for your own good fortune. You're able to do that. Maybe you were able to spend a few minutes outside in the sun. It was nice weather, sunny, blue skies. The good fortune of temperate weather. Happiness for your own good fortune. Maybe today you spoke with a friend or a colleague or family member or communicated with them in some way, text or email. Feeling happiness for your own good fortune of this connection in your life. How grateful that this person is part of your life. You've had this connection with them today, however small. Maybe you were able to take a walk today, or maybe you drove. You had the ability to drive or walk or take public transport. Feeling happiness for your good fortune for having been able to get around to be here right now. Happiness for your own good fortune to have the level of health to be here at IMC or to be listening online. Have the presence of mind and body. Not to be taken for granted. Such a good fortune. Can you feel happy for this blessing? Happy for your own happiness, for your own good fortune. feeling happy for your own good fortune of having shelter. Or having meaningful work, if that is the case for you. Or free time to do what you wish, whatever the scenario might be for you. Now it's your time to be creative. Think of all the little blessings, large and small. So many things, ranging from your toe not being stubbed, not hurting, not having a headache. So many things to be grateful for. I'll let you explore on your own for a few minutes. Now I'd like to invite you to bring to mind someone in your life . Maybe a friend, someone you know for whom some aspect of their life is going well. It doesn't have to be every aspect, but there's some blessing that they're very grateful for, they're very happy about, relieved about. Could even be someone that you just know a little bit. And allow yourself to feel happy for their happiness. Maybe silently reciting in your mind, I'm happy for your happiness. Or, I take delight in your good fortune. Or, may your happiness, may your blessing continue. May it grow and never cease. Just an expression of your good wishes, your goodwill. I'm happy for your happiness. May your good fortune continue, may it increase, may it never end. It's easiest to choose someone for whom your affection flows with ease, who has some blessing, something they're happy about in their life, to start with. And feel yourself feeling happy for their happiness, taking delight in their good fortune. Maybe a smile even shows up on your face. Best to start with someone that's easy. Don't go for the challenging situation to start with. And if it's getting challenging, either turn towards it with compassion or back off and choose someone else. Someone for whom you're truly happy for their happiness. You're really happy for them. Now I'd like to invite you to see your friend for whom you're happy for being happy for your good fortune, for one of the blessings or good things that happened in your life or in your day. They're feeling happy for you. Feeling their mudita, feeling their joy for you. Receiving, letting yourself receive it. Receiving this joy, this happiness. Just an expression of goodwill. And now, both you and this dear, easy person, both of you in a circle of joy together, feeling happy for each other, giving and receiving, receiving and giving. Unclear who's giving, who's receiving, doesn't matter. Both happy for their own good fortune, happy for yours, receiving their happiness for you. Happy for each other's good fortune. Turning your mind to goodness, to blessings in both of your lives. May our good fortune increase. May it never end. Or I'm happy for our good fortune, for our blessings, the blessings in our lives. May our happiness continue. May our good fortune, may our blessings continue. May they increase and may they never end. So it's best to stir the practice of mudita, vicarious joy, empathetic happiness, where it's easy. Starting with a friend, with someone for whom you're really happy for. And I mentioned that the far enemy, the opposite of vicarious joy, is envy. And I did not mention previously that what's called the near enemy, which is basically something that masquerades as vicarious joy, but it's not vicarious joy. It's the near enemy. It masquerades as it. Pride, and there are a couple of near enemies. One is pride, and the other one is exuberance. So pride is, for example, when you're really feeling happy, say for, let's say, your child, like, oh, I'm so happy for you, and then their sense of pride, oh, my child, sense kind of like sense of ownership, then you're not just feeling happy, you're kind of connected, attached to the outcome, you're attached to the whole thing, to the package. It's not open-hearted anymore, just feeling happy for the happiness. It's kind of clingy. So when it becomes clingy, it's not the real thing anymore. The other one is exuberance. Exuberance is when you're happy for someone's happiness and then you get so high that you're kind of bouncing off the walls and it's not really balanced anymore. It's not grounded. It's so bouncy that it's kind of like, whoa, you're drunk. So that's also the near enemy. It's masquerades as it. So we have time for questions, for reflections, complaints, anything you have. We have some time and we have mics. Especially if you're new to this practice, there might be questions that have come up for you. Even if you're not new to this practice, there might be questions, there might be reflections, so don't be shy. I'll ask the question a little differently. What came up for you? Was it easy? Was it joyous? Was it hard? Was it...
So for me it was easy, but one thing that came up, and I don't know why this comes up, but imagining being with my friend and being in the circle, like holding hands in a circle, but the energy only flowed like out of my right hand into the left hand and then back around this way, and when I tried to think about it going the other way, it didn't go, it only went that way. Is that something, I mean, it was just something I observed.
It's just something you observe, yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And it's, you know, are you right-handed?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. It's. I wouldn't attach necessarily any significance to it, but it's just kind of fun to notice some things, right? Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right?
I just know if there's anything about energy flow and Buddhism
In this tradition.
Okay.
Yeah, who knows, really? Reality is wilder than we know. So, I don't know. But thanks for sharing that. Yeah. I think there's another mic. Yes, please.
Might be two questions about the enemies.
Yeah.
Especially pride and envy. One question is, can you have, like I didn't choose someone because I have a little envy. But I don't feel like there's like that harshness like that sometimes can be there. One question is, can you have one of the enemies but sort of a soft attitude towards it, and it could sit maybe with mudita? The other question was, are there antidotes to the enemies?
Yeah, good question. So let's start with envy, which is the far enemy, which essentially is the opposite. So if it's, you know, if it's something that you're kind of seeing, but still there's a sense of mudita, so you're still happy for their happiness. You're really happy for their happiness. And there's just a little bit of envy, kind of, you're keeping it in check. Like, you can continue with the practice, right? I think that's what you're asking. But if it becomes predominant, if you find yourself just not really happy for their happiness, that's not the predominant feeling, but you're just envious, that you wish you had it, then the practice has fallen into envy, which again, it's not a problem. It's just, you know, it can happen, right? So I'll go to the second part of your question. What is the antidote at that point? Well, different things. One is that in that point when envy arises, instead of pushing it away, you actually make it the focus of your practice. That becomes what you're practicing with. So envy is a contracted, it's a difficult emotion, together with, you know, various other emotions that come up in this, that visit us human beings, like anger and, you know, like the whole gamut. So you turn the attention to it and hold it with compassion with another one of the Brahmaviharas, because at that point you're the one who's suffering. You're the one who's experiencing these afflictive emotions, and you're really hurting because this is something you really, really want to for yourself, and you don't have it. And ouch, right? Instead of, right, it's a clingy, painful. So then it becomes self-compassion. It's not so much an antidote, but it's what you work with. And you work with self-compassion, holding yourself, when, until it releases and it eases. And so that's one way to work with it. It can also be practice of equanimity. At that, after self-compassion, working with it with equanimity, seeing all the causes and conditions in your life that have led to this, that really are not personal, and all the causes and conditions in your friend's life that have led to this good fortune. And again, it's not personal. It's just so, you know, the Buddha says if we try to think of all the causes and conditions, our heads will explode, all the generations and everything everywhere. It's kind of wild. Anyway, so those are a couple of ways. And then with pride, which is a near enemy or kind of a masquerader, again, here it's a little different because it's not the opposite. Here what you do, what you work with, say, again, you're feeling happy for your friend, and you're like, oh, I'm so happy for you. And, you know, you have that good job because I put in a good recommendation for you, right? It's kind of like you have a sense of pride or attachment, like, ooh, then you get to see your own kind of clinging to that. So in that point, you turn the mind of insight with clear seeing where you're getting caught, and it's not pure goodwill anymore. It's kind of like me, like your kind of ego, yourself has gotten. And you just get to see that, oh, okay, dear ego, here you are, dear self, yeah, you're attaching. So you just get to see it clearly. Again, not trying to squash it away, but just seeing it very clearly. It's a little different in these two cases, how you work with them.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. What else? Other questions or reflections of what came up for you? Do you feel any happier? Any more, I don't know, feeling or being more in tune with the good fortune in your life right now than before the practice? Yes? Anyone? Yes? Hear some heads nodding. Well, you don't often get the chance to ask questions, people. You just, this is your chance. If there isn't, I'll close it, but going once. Did envy come up? For how many people envy came up? I'm curious. If you're willing to just do a poll. Okay. For how many people happiness or joy came up? Okay. For how many people you were not able to connect with your own good fortune or blessing? Okay, the opposite. How many people are able to connect with your own good fortune or blessing? Okay. This is great. So, were you able to, who was able to connect with the good fortune or blessing and feel happy for somebody else? Not for yourself, for somebody else. Okay. All right, so I would say 90-95% were able to ninety percent were able to connect with their own, 80% were able to connect with others, and almost everyone raised their hand connecting with happiness, if I saw correctly. Is that an appropriate statistic? Okay. No, I'm doing statistics today. Okay, great. Well, so this is the practice of mudita. Oh, and also, okay, one last thing. If you could just, popcorn style, if you could shout out if you notice you feel any differently right now compared to when you walked in. Just shout out words. Connected to the ground. Yeah? What else? I heard something else. Calmer. Peaceful. Grateful. Grateful. Yeah. It's a nice practice. It's as I've led it myself, I feel more connected to the blessings in my life. And again, it's easy to take them for granted. There's so many of them. So on that note, wish you all goodness. May all the blessings in your lives, may they continue, and may they never cease. May you all be well. May you all be happy. May you all be free. All beings everywhere. Thank you.